Best Worst Case Scenario Podcast.
What do you know about curses, Dana?
Nothing.
You never been cursed?
I feel like my whole life's been a curse.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah.
Slow down there on the beer, man.
Everything I eat just goes right to my ass.
I don't think that's
everything
true.
Everything I eat goes right to my ass.
Dana, you'd have a huge ass if that was true. You'd have a huge ass and skinny arms, skinny legs, but a giant ass.
That's exactly what I look like.
No.
Like, some people are top heavy. I'm bottom heavy.
I see what you did there. That's funny. It's funny. But you don't have nearly as big of a butt as like that guy on Instagram.
I know.
That knocks people over with his butt.
That's a fake butt. No, yeah, we should get off the butts.
But, guys.
You were asking me what I know about curses.
Yeah.
And I said, I've got a big butt, essentially.
Yeah, you're the one who steered it into the butt.
I've got those Shakira hips and that big butt.
Yeah.
And I wish I didn't.
Yeah, it's okay though, man. Let's move
What's
on.
What's your curse?
I don't even want to say, man. Got so many.
Yeah.
But that's for another episode, guys.
Like a million. And he can't even tell us one. Because his curse is lying. That's what he's doing right
I've
now.
I've been called lion mine before.
That's good.
That is
by
good.
One of your exes? Or?
Naturally, yeah. So, anyways, I was thinking about curses the other day. Because you know how some people in their families, they kind of have things that go through? Like maybe they've seen weird things. But it almost seems to follow those people,
like the like generations. It follows generations,
exactly.
Like the mother and then the daughter and then the daughter
and
of
the
that daughter,
sister and the aunt and the roommate. Everyone just gets affected by this paranormal like hub.
Like the family's cursed,
exactly.
Like they did something really fucked up a couple hundred years ago, mm-hmm. and some gypsy cursed them.
Yeah, just like Mystery Men
or Holes.
Yes.
Stanley Yelnats.
You're right. Curses do abound, it seems, because some people swear they've seen something terrifying growing up, and then other people in that family down the line might experience like similar stuff.
Yeah, if you don't know what we're talking about already, it's the paranormal of our own experiences.
Wow. Couldn't have said it better myself.
Of our own experiences.
But before we take it any further, let me just say this is Mayan.
This is Dana.
And we will be your hosts tonight on this episode of Best Worst Case Scenario Podcast.
BWCS. We don't want to be your hosts, but we will be. Just for tonight.
So, like, have you heard of Whitney Houston?
Whitney Hugh?
I'm sure. That's funny.
Whitney Hugh? Yeah, I have heard of her.
Okay, well, she's dead. And
was she killed by the ring girl?
No.
Did she have 7 days?
Nope. But get this. She died in her bathtub.
What?
Probably like drinking a bunch of and like taking pills or whatever. So
no.
She drowned in her bathtub.
That's creepy.
And a year later, her daughter died the same way.
With pills?
Yep, in the bathtub.
So did they overdose?
That's what people think, but a lot of people are like, no, they wouldn't, or her daughter wouldn't have done that. Like, she wasn't like that, you know? So it's, you almost wonder
how
if
old
that.
Was, do you know how old they both were?
No idea. But you wonder if that
Jeez,
was did, a curse. Did, I actually learned the story from my coworker, Jess. Shout out to her.
Now go check out her podcast, which is
it's called Time to Chat. And it's a good one. If you're into psychology, if you're into food, I mean, who isn't into food? But it's like a deep dive into the structures and societal like conditioning that leads to certain foods becoming commonplace and what those choices say about like how we live as a society and in our personal lives.
Damn. You explained her podcast better than you could explain ours.
Yeah.
Why is that?
I don't know. Because ours, we just talk about poo and puns.
No, we don't.
Shit.
We're not that immature.
I got the maturity of a 6-year-old who smokes.
What?
I don't know.
You sound like a hardened 6-year-old who drinks whiskey and like does construction at 6 years old.
Yep.
Like he has to shave every day or he would have a giant mustache.
Exactly. So, curses like that. Curses like deaths or apparitions.
Generational.
Maybe tragedy that follows people.
Annoyances. Not curses. Annoying. They're fucking annoying.
They are. In my life, I feel like I've been pretty lucky. Largely, like, I haven't had any crazy trauma. And yet, I've experienced a few things in my life that were, frankly, not of this world. That's where we cue the music, and that's the intro right there.
That was. We should keep that in right there, what you just said, too. Cue that. Boom. Here comes the music. Boom. Like, keep it. Let's just keep everything in this time.
Guys, you get to see the inner workings of our minds.
It's like the underbelly of the beast.
Yeah.
The asshole of the world.
We're really the bathroom graffiti of podcasts, but it's good. We're like
hobgoblins.
Yep.
We're hideous if you look closely. We're just disguised as good-looking boys or men. Man, children.
Man, you're not doing us any favors, man. Just okay. Stop.
let's rewind it back as if you just did the segue with the music.
Dana, has anything ever happened to you that was so odd, so out of the blue, and maybe you had nothing else to compare it to, that you were like, does the world work the way I think it is?
Well, most of that kind of stuff happened when I was younger. When I was a little child. Maybe a 5 or 6. I think, hold on. I had some notes.
Are you looking at your notes about your childhood?
Notes about myself.
Wow, man.
Because I don't trust my memory.
You wrote that. So with your memory, you wrote that.
No, I don't trust my memory.
Right now, you mean?
I mean to talk about my memories. Not right now. I mean, ever.
Dana's saying he doesn't have the memory for those memories. Okay. I don't. And with that, continue.
Also, we're both kind of high. My earliest memory was, around the Tooth Fairy time when I was like 5 or 6 years old. We were living in somewhere in Oregon, maybe Salem, in this house that we were renting, and you must have been one.
Hell yeah, I was. I was like a fucking badass 1-year-old.
Year one.
I was doing shit. He was making shit.
Smoking stuff and slapping girls around.
Yeah.
Because he's a pimp. So we were at this house in Salem, Oregon, and I had lost a tooth, and this was back when I believed in Santa Claus.
Probably because I knocked it out, huh?
You shut the fuck up. You're not Stewie. When I believed in Santa Claus, like Easter Bunny, you know, kitty shit, stupid shit. The Tooth Fairy was one too. And so Mom told me to put it under my pillow.
Your tooth?
Yeah.
Did you tell her though?
What do you mean?
Did you tell her that you lost a tooth and you were going to put it for the fairy?
Yeah, she told me to put it under my pillow.
Okay.
Because I would get something.
Just need the details.
And I think I got a dollar. That's all I got was a dollar.
But this
she
was,
did the best she could.
This was that night?
Yes, it was this night that I lost my tooth. I put it under my pillow, then everybody went to sleep. And then I walked out into the living room for some reason, like late at night. Like I couldn't sleep and I was just restless. So I went out there and I sat on our couch. And I had some of my toys out on the ground. And I had this big kind of dump truck thing. And then also this weird black toy spider. This is how I sounded when I was 6 years old, too.
You always had that voice.
Yeah, always. Came out with chest hair.
You did?
No, so this black toy spider, which is battery powered, too. Like, it's got this little switch on the belly, and you could turn it on, and it would just start walking.
Dude, I think I remember that.
It would start walking, actually. And it had...
Holy shit, I'm having a moment.
I think it had red eyes, too. That it didn't look that scary, but... So I was sitting on the couch late at night by myself. Everyone was asleep. You, Sadie, and Mom. And to my right, like 10 feet away, was the spider. And it just started moving while I was on the couch, like out of the corner of my eye. And it started walking towards me.
Did it make a noise?
No. But it came to life and it was like crawling at me.
You could hear it like winding and stuff.
No, not winding. Like it was battery powered.
Okay.
So the switch, you have to turn it on for it to move. And so it just started crawling at me. And it's like it was turning too. Like it was
going towards
it. It was following me kind of because I stood up. I was like, what the fuck? And I like panicked and I grabbed my little dump truck thing that was next to me. It was like the size of a space heater, half the size of that. And I rolled it at the spider crawling at me.
How old were you?
Like 5 or 6. I was 12 years old, 20 years old.
This was yesterday, guys.
I rolled it at the spider and then I ran down the hallway. I didn't even look back.
Like, fuck, throw fuck. Something in the way.
I was like, fuck this. And then I ran out of there.
It's like when people are being chased and they push over tables.
Yeah. So how do I want to say this? I didn't wake anybody up, even though that happened. I just went back. I think I went to Mom's room or I went back to bed. But there's an element of the story that's kind of creepy.
I think it's already creepy.
No. Actually, oh man, I'm getting chills just thinking about this. Which might have explained more to it. There was a trail of kisses from my bedroom to the living room when I woke up.
Oh my God.
They were chocolate. And the chocolate kisses, there's
Dana,
a trail.
Dana, are you telling me you were stupid enough, even at 5, to follow a trail of kisses at night out of your fucking bedroom?
Fat kid can't say no.
Oh my gosh, that's terrible.
Chubby man.
Who did that?
I don't know. Well, I thought Mom did it when I followed it out there, but I had never questioned her about it because I always thought she did it. But thinking about it now and talking about the story, it's kind of creepy that it led me into the living room and then it stopped. And yeah, that's where I was sitting on the couch, kind of like looking at my chocolate and having some chocolate. And then the spider is coming to fucking get me, man.
Damn. And then you threw dump truck and ran.
Yeah, I didn't see that coming. And then I went to sleep.
Jeez, just all in a night.
In a chocolate coma.
Just all in a chocolatey night for Dana. Man.
God. It's weird. That's weird. The chocolate weird. Kiss trail's almost weirder than the spider movie. Like, why would Mom do that? Because I did find money under my pillow.
Well, this is what I'm thinking. I'm thinking, because this is the way I work, guys. I like to believe in all this stuff, but I always like to find plausible solutions, too.
He's a skeptic.
I'm a skeptic, but
he's boring.
I'm also a believer.
Yeah, that's me, too.
This is what I honestly think might have happened. I think Mom did put those kisses out there, but I also think maybe she meant you to find them the next day, and you woke up with your tiny little bladder probably at like, you know, 2 a.m. or something, but you got up, you saw those kisses then, but still...
Fat kid activated.
Still, even with that, the timing and the mechanism of the spider seems really odd.
Yeah, I want to say it was like at 11 or 12 at night.
And you know what else I find particularly interesting about that story? You had this happen the night that you believed a tooth fairy, a supernatural being, was going to come and give you a dollar. And that is so big because the story that I'm going to tell is the exact same thing.
What?
Yeah.
Get out of town.
So I think that we as people imbue things with our thoughts.
I like that word, imbue. So, reminds me of Diablo 2.
I think that the things we associate with a given place or object or time have effects.
Like ripples.
Exactly. I think they have an outward effect on our environment. And there are studies or scientific experiments where they've proven that depending on someone observing something, it will literally change the thing that we're observing. It's called the observer effect.
Kind of like how atoms change when you try to test them.
Exactly. So we can change things from a light wave or waves and particles or something like that.
So how does this apply to your story, or is this my story that you're commenting on?
It's right my story.
Okay.
But I think we should go back. After I tell the story, you should tell me another one.
Back to the scene. We'll just switch back and forth.
Okay. Let's fast forward.
Yeah, this is mine. It's time to shine.
Let's fast forward to when I was a wee older of a lad.
What?
Because I was...
We older than you are now?
No. I'm Benjamin.
He's telling us ghost stories from the future. This is like a new genre. When I was 50 years old.
Okay. This would have been like 9 years after the spider incident. I was about 10. We were living in this apartment complex, and bordering this complex was this biggest forest that was just like sprawling across. I think now it's like all developed and stuff, but it used to be massive. So we had this giant forest there, right? And oftentimes as a kid, the only thing to do would be to play in that forest. So I'd climb a lot of trees, I'd like look for frogs. We'd
have sword stick fights.
We'd have sword fights.
I was Darth Maul with my doubles.
I had a thick one. I had a short, thick
one. You had
one.
A thick one? That's what she said.
Short, thick, actually, stick.
Actually, that's not
yeah.
what she said.
So, we'd be playing out there. And there was this one day I was playing with my friend. It was me and him. There was a tire swing in this huge tree. And I looked over at the tire swing and I saw a little girl standing behind it. And I looked.
What?
I looked for a second and it was so brief that I wasn't sure I saw it. And what she looked like is she had long blonde hair, she had overalls on, and a white shirt underneath. And I still to this day kind of remember, even though it was brief, just like the general of what she looked like.
Wait, so what was she wearing?
Overalls, a white shirt, and she had long blonde hair. And she was young. She was maybe like 6 years old.
And she disappeared.
I did like a double take and I looked back and she was gone.
Behind the tires.
Right. But the weirder thing is I turned to my friend and I was like, dude, that was weird. Did you just, I think I just saw something. And he was like, oh, I did too. And I was like, yeah, right. What did you see? And he goes, I saw a little girl with blonde hair and like blue overalls. That's what he said. He might have missed the overalls, but he was like, I saw a little blonde girl. And I looked at him and I was like, holy shit. That means we literally saw the same thing.
Wow. That's it.
But that's the beginning of the story. It gets way weirder than that.
In the woods?
After. So.
In the same day?
This is right after.
You guys were you guys playing on the tire or something?
No, we were kind of far away from it. Like maybe like 200 yards.
It's
away.
Like hanging off of that giant tree, right? Way yeah. back there. It's kind
it
of
is the biggest tree there.
It's a weird spot.
That tree is probably at least like 100 to 200 years old. But
so it gets crazier.
So after this happens, I turned to my friend and I said, let's give her a name. And I was like, let's call her Sarah. So when we were in the woods for the rest of that day, we were referring to Sarah, who we pretended was kind of like invisible. We couldn't see her. But
you're playing with an imaginary
we
friend.
We would play with an imaginary friend, yeah.
That's not creepy.
It was a little bit weird.
You guys are weird.
But after we were done playing in the woods, I was like, oh, do you want to go to my house? And my friend was like, yeah. And then I turned to him and I was like, should we ask if Sarah wants to? So we said out loud, we invited Sarah. I said, like, you can come to my house and hang out with us. So we get to my house. We walk inside and... keep in mind, we're still playing this game, even then.
What is the game?
The game is that Sarah's there.
That's the game. It sounds like you guys are trying to pick up on a chick.
No, we just, there it just there. Like, it just was fun.
Cool.
So we get into my house and we sit down in the living room and I turn to a seat. There was like a chair, but it had a pile of laundry on top of it. Like towels.
Folded.
Not folded. Just like a mess of towels, right? I don't know what that's like. So it was on top of this wooden chair. And as we were sitting there, I said, "Oh, Sarah, you can sit down there." And my friend and I were looking at it. And I shit you not, this pile of laundry flattened down in a second as if someone plopped their full weight onto this pile of laundry. I saw it sink.
That's creepy. And then you guys ran out of there screaming, or you're like, "Yay, Sarah's here."
No. Woo-hoo. I think after my friend and I looked at each other, we realized that this was not just pretend.
You thought it was a pretend game.
We don't know what that was. So like that could have been anything, but it was something, right? That I had invited into our home.
But likely it was Sarah.
Not likely. Maybe I don't know.
Sarah was a demon. Could have blonde hair.
Yeah. So that's like one of mine that for that experience alone, that's why I believe in a lot of stuff, is because I've seen something that made absolute zero sense with my eyes in broad daylight with another person.
Yeah, well, the place you're talking about used to be called Camp Prairie Apartments, and we used to live there when we were younger. I was like 8 when we moved there, and then I think we moved out when I was like 14 or 15. So we were there for a while. But while we were there, we lived in 2 units. The first one was a little smaller. It was like a 2-bedroom, 1-story, and the back door was up against the woods that you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And so inevitably we would play out there in that area. And it was like the edge of the apartments. Like that woods there wasn't part of the apartments, but it was where a lot of kids would go to play. It was like an easy place to get kidnapped. So the first apartment, we had some weird stuff happen in there. Our sister Sadie supposedly saw an apparition of a...
I don't know if I trust Sadie.
Wow.
I'm just kidding.
I'm going to tell her to listen to this
just
episode.
Kidding, Sadie. I just wish to confirm that she saw.
Well, how would she benefit by telling you she saw a ghost?
Shock factor. I don't know. But she described it. I remember her describing it. And she said that it had, it was a little girl.
Looked like a little house in the prairie girl.
Yeah. And she had like.
She had a little dress on.
No, but she had braids.
Braids and a bonnet.
I wonder if Sadie just looked in the mirror though. Like she was wearing her braids. And she looked into a mirror and she was like, "Fuck, it's a little girl."
And she was just happening to wear a bonnet too.
Yeah.
She's like screamed at her on reflection.
I don't know what Sadie wore, honestly. But anyways.
She said she looked like an old timey girl.
Yeah.
If that's true, it might make some sense because that whole complex and the area, like Hagen's stores nearby, was all built on Native American burial ground. Wild shit.
That is wild. But you could just use that as a cop out and be like, "Oh, I saw a guy with a top hat, and in the past guys wore top hats, so therefore I saw him." You know?
Maybe.
But she said she ran through the apparition.
See, that's where it turns into a lie. Who runs through a ghost?
Yeah.
What is she, Velma from Scooby-Doo?
Oh,
or what's the other one, Daphne?
Dude, we got to go easy on Sadie. We actually need to let her on the podcast one of these days.
Yeah, and her baby too.
Well, I don't
and think, her little baby
I
too.
I don't think her
the
baby's
baby
going to
just
I don't
be
think,
like Goo Goo Gaga.
I don't think Sophia will be ready to talk for a bit, so.
I know, but when she's ready, we'll have our niece on.
Yeah, stay tuned for at least 12 years, and you might hear.
Wow. Do you think that's how long it's going to take for her to talk, to start talking?
Man, I'm still bad at talking. I'm 29.
Anywho. Yeah, this place had everything. It had Native American ghosts, prairie girls. So the ghost apparition she saw, ran through it, told us about it. Then the same apartment is where I am pretty dang sure some of Sadie's glass dolls moved by themselves.
What do you mean? Explain. Unpack that. Unpack that like a doll, Dana.
I didn't trust these dolls, and I had a thing against them.
Why? Because they're a little glass and pretty?
Because they look too lifelike.
Oh.
I just didn't trust them behind my back when I'm sleeping and there's knives in the kitchen.
And their eyes are always open?
Yes. And their eyes are realistic looking.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, I would put them in the room, line them up in different positions, and then leave the room and then come back and see if any of them moved around.
And you have a terrible memory, is what
you're telling me. I've got a terrible memory. So I'd come back, and I'd be like, wow, they all moved, when really none of them moved.
As I thought.
No, but I played that game with my friend, too, Kevin. We would, it sounds kind of gay, but we would
position. You guys would go move dolls together?
Position dolls or in the room.
And you position dolls?
And then we'd leave.
What? Do I even know you, Dana?
And we'd come back in like 5 or 10 minutes because they needed some time to move around.
Yeah.
And then they'd be moved around.
Whoa. In other positions.
Yeah. Weird. Jeez. They'd be in really weird positions.
That is weird, though. Do you think...
Bent over?
Do you think that those dolls could have been being moved by like some sort of supernatural force?
You know, I don't know. I think they could have moved because of my...
Expectation. That they would move.
Like I had complete faith almost that they were going to move.
Oh my gosh. And that goes in line with the first spider. Two stories as well.
Yeah. Like, what if all this paranormal ghost type shit is actually you making it happen?
Changing your reality or something.
But... Yeah, so there was the doll thing.
But even the thing I told you, I just want to say real fast, the one I experienced is that we had an expectation about what we were going to see or about what was there. And it almost created that. It made space for that to come through.
Like the imagination of a child.
It's like the ritual aspect of it, maybe.
Or the imagination of a child with the limitless possibilities, you can manifest things because you believe in it 100%.
Yeah. It's like Peter Pan, you know, you're eating your food, your imaginary mashed potatoes, and then all of a sudden you're eating the real things.
The real taters.
The real taters.
Huh. So the dolls did that experiment. Interesting. But... something else happened in this first apartment that was kind of weird. We had a cat in this place called Lucy, and she was a real bitch.
She was terrible. She was my least favorite cat.
She was a real POS. I want to say that. She looked cute, and she would take a couple pets, and then that third or fourth pet, she was clawing you.
Claw your damn eyes out.
But
I got to say, in Lucy's defense, one day I got hurt outside, and I came home crying, and that cat came up to me and started being the most loving it's ever been.
You know why?
I just had to be in tears.
She wanted some tuna. That's all she wanted. She didn't give a shit about your day.
She did care about me.
She wanted some tuna.
She was trying to comfort me. Maybe some tuna wouldn't hurt. Did you give her
some food?
Probably.
There you go.
It's like the Loch Ness Monster.
So the cat, this cat was sitting on the windowsill in my room that I was sharing with mine, I'm pretty sure, with bunk beds or something like that.
Stepbrother style.
And sleeping on the windowsill or near it, and it was at night. All of a sudden, the cat stood up and its hair raised up like it was gonna get in a fight. And I can't remember if it hissed or not, but like a second after it stood up and raised its hair, something really loud banged against the window. So I was like, what the hell? And then I got mom and told her what happened. And we like went outside to see if anybody was out there or if something was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And there was nothing. It was like super quiet out there.
What?
But it was just weird that the cat reacted before the noise.
Yeah.
Like to me, that's paranormal.
Mm-hmm. Unless.
Come on, here comes the fucking Buzz Killington over here.
Well,
he's gonna take a shit all over my
story.
Come on, guys.
We gotta talk about these things. We gotta just like entertain ideas. I'm just wondering if maybe Lucy saw a cat, another cat outside, and that cat wanted to fight her, and it snuck up towards her and it jumped at the window.
No, the blinds were closed.
What do you mean?
The blinds were closed.
What?
Yeah.
God damn it.
Because it was nighttime.
That was the only thing it
had. It was nighttime.
Okay. Ghosts are real, folks. Heard it from Dana.
It is. I feel like if anything could explain it, it was like a backfire from a car or something.
The fact that she reacted first.
Like it was so loud that it sounded like a rock hit the window where there was like a shotgun blast nearby. But the fact that the cat reacted before it was weird to me.
That's wild. I can't imagine. Speaking of that house, though, we had a pretty supernatural couch, as I recall. It was a red couch.
We're like Supernatural Brothers from that TV show, Supernatural.
No, but what I mean is that red couch had a lot of supernatural activity on it. And some stains as well.
Wow, are you talking about sexual activity?
Could have been some ghost fog on it. Lots of things happened with that couch. you'll never know for sure.
Oh, I know what happened on that couch too.
It's in a better place now.
Well,
I was just gonna say that with that couch. We've had like some things that I believe have been, if not haunted, had like a really strong presence about them. One of them would have been the Ouija board that I found in my great grandma's attic. Now, keep in mind, guys, my great grandma, our great grandma, was the most devout Catholic, her and her husband, like their whole lives.
Elva.
Mm-hmm. So imagine our surprise when she passed and we were moving her stuff and they were auctioning it off and we were up in the attic and we found a Ouija board, a very old looking Ouija board.
That's what you found or we did?
We all did. I wanted to use it.
That was up in the second story, right? Like where people could sleep, considered the attic.
Yeah.
But that's where we slept, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Weird.
Yeah, this was a farmhouse in Wisconsin, and I remember the board also had a guy with a hood on it.
Like a KKK plant. KKK no. guy?
More like a Dark Brotherhood from Skyrim kind of thing.
Huh, so you found the Ouija board, and did you guys play it?
I wanted to play it, but mom wouldn't let me, and she ended up getting rid of it. But I had a fascination with that thing.
Huh.
A bad one. But unfortunately, I didn't get to like really see if that thing was there, but just the whole story of it being up there is super weird.
It is weird, and I bet it would have been pretty active if you played it after she had just died and the previous wife died up there too.
Right. Maybe it was hers.
Because that chair would rock back and forth randomly, and then...
Wait, just because people don't know. So you're saying there was a chair in the attic that my great-grandma and great-grandpa lived at. And my great-grandpa had married my great-grandma after his other wife died.
Yeah.
And so you're saying that the chair that the past wife used to live in,
I don't know, used to sit in. Fucking A, this is getting confusing.
Would rock.
I don't know.
She'd rock and roll.
I don't know if she died up there, but she died in that house. And the chair would move back and forth in front of Elva when she was up in this attic. And Elva was kind of a beast in every way. And she pretty much like chewed out the ghost, like told it to leave and
you get out
essentially get the fuck out of her house.
You get the fuck out of my house.
she means business. But yeah, that Wisconsin place, farmhouse.
Farmhouses, I feel like, have a creepy vibe about them, too.
Like The Conjuring. That was a farmhouse.
Yes.
What is it about farmhouses that is creepy? Is it because they're big? They're old? They've got basements? They've got attics? They're huge. They're, like, you can hide easily.
Yeah. I think you just hit all of it on the head. The only other thing is that they're usually really dark. You don't have tons of lights in the barn, usually.
The lights that do work are kind of shitty.
It's a place you're in when you're doing day work. You don't really spend time in there at night. So
you're a farmhand?
Yeah.
So there's another place that had some weird shit after the Camp Prairie apartments that we moved to. And that kind of followed me around in a way, involving closets.
Dana's still trying to get out of it, actually.
No, I'm trying to stay out of it. When I was like between 15 and, I don't know, 17 years old, we got this duplex in Arlington, and it had a master bedroom that had a closet in there.
Oh, man, I remember this place.
And
it's fucking terrifying.
It was two stories. It was a huge duplex. And there was something weird about the closet that I avoided at all costs. And our mom would sleep in this master bedroom that has a closet and a bathroom or whatever. But sometimes we'd use the bathroom if the other one was being used. So you'd have to walk past the closet, and it was just always really dark.
You know what the problem with that closet was? As soon as you walked through the bedroom door, it was right to your left. So it was always in the peripheral of your vision every time you walked in and out of that place. And it was so big and dark that it was like this gaping hole, like looking at you.
That's what it was. It was a gaping hole with a lot of dark energy. But aside from that creepy-ass closet, which actually there's another place right after
well,
that.
Well, I got something first, actually, if you pause there. So because it's on the outskirts of your vision, I think this closet represents a liminal space. And if you guys have ever seen the documentary Hellier, they talk a lot about this, and I think there's something there.
The things in your periphery.
Right. So liminal spaces represent spaces in between things. So like certain roads or bridges, or it could even not be a physical place. It could be like a representation of something that is in between things. That's what a liminal space is. It's the undefined no man's land between two things. And they believe in Hellier that because these places occupy these zones of being undefined, they're more effective at bringing in otherworldly things and supernatural occurrences like UFOs, like ghosts, like Bigfoot.
In your peripheral vision, that's where they are. Where as soon as you look, it's gone. But you can see it out of the corner of your eye. That's creepy.
Yeah. Whew. So that's an example of a place that just gives you a bad vibe for whatever reason that you can't quite pin down.
Yeah. That's what I felt like with this closet and the master bedroom. And then the place we got moved to after that had a closet too. It was also a duplex in Marysville. And it was a bigger place. But the closet in there felt worse to me. And it's just like, it was just like this dark energy that I didn't feel comfortable being in the house or being up there by myself when the house was empty. Like I'd have to be downstairs.
Mm-hmm.
Cause it just felt heavy. But the previous duplex, when I was home alone playing video games downstairs, there was a few times where I was by myself or with a friend and we'd hear like a thud upstairs or like walking around, and then it would stop and we'd like look at each other or just stare at the ceiling because we knew we were the only ones there. And it was really off-putting.
Wait, but wasn't that the house that our neighbors lived across from us? Like, it was like a duplex?
Yeah. So but No. It wasn't on that side. We were on it was on the far side. There was nobody next to us where we heard the thud.
Oh my gosh. Like it up was, in mom's room, like right above.
Yeah, right above where the closet was. Whoa. It was like a thud. And walking around, it was like, shit, should I leave the house?
Should I go?
And then I'd keep playing video games because I was addicted. I was like, who cares? That's if someone's in here stealing shit,
the power of addiction. You play your games even if people are stealing your stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, what else would happen there in that place?
Well, mom scared the shit out of us one time, but I'd rather not talk about it.
Yeah, I don't want to highlight our biggest moment of cowardice in front of all of these listeners. But if you guys really want to hear that story,
subscribe to our Patreon.
But speaking of pain.
Yeah. Thanks for joining us on this episode.
Yeah.
Of our ghostly encounters of the turd kind.
And if you guys really enjoy the show, consider checking out our Patreon, where you can become a member and help support the podcast magic happen.
Yeah. Rate the show on Spotify or Apple Podcasts if you're tuning in that way, because that really helps. Or subscribe on YouTube.
And send us your love letters.
Yeah. You know? Write us your secret thoughts about life and ghosts and just anything. Anything personal. Tell us and we'll share it with the world.
So, I've been your host, Mayan.
I've been your host, Dana.
And this has been Best Worst Case Scenario Podcast.
BWCS.
Good night.
Good night.